Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're at 4 o'clock hour, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School, the New School Way, on the Las Vegas Bowl Eve. Here we are. Got some interesting news. Probably as excited as I am for the bowl game, I'm more excited for Friday because the portal is open. Mm-hmm. And every time you open up X or Twitter, you see that a San Diego State defender is in the portal. They had three really good defenders. All of them were the best players in the league. Mm-hmm. Be interesting to see if they make their way to Nebraska or one or three or all of them. One, two, or three or all of them make their way. With that being said, there's some interesting quotes out there. Coach Rule, I think it was real smart. He says, look, we know what we're getting into. Not a lot of people are giving us much of a chance, but that has nothing to do with us. I like that type of singular focus, like, whatever their betting odds are or whatever you want to call them, that doesn't take into account to what we do,
right,
and what we've done. And so if they've done enough and, attack this as a phenomenal opportunity and there's nothing to lose, there's everything to gain. Mm-hmm. We're the most dangerous team in this bowl, like, season outside of the CFP. Mm-hmm. It's a tremendous opportunity to essentially just – you're fighting for. Here's my analogy. I know that because Coach Rule had another one quote where he was talking about, since the Pac-12 teams came in, most of the meetings are out on the West Coast, and he had been to Vegas four times in the last calendar year for different reasons. And obviously he went to the Bud Crawford fight, but it just kind of popped in my head when you look at this game here, an analogy in the boxing game. And I know Bud just retired, but when you look at it, it's the CFP is you're fighting for the heavyweight title. Mm-hmm. This is like a middleweight or whatever. It's like a WBC heavyweight. There's a different levels to it, right?
Yeah.
You're like the IBF or something. You're not even you got a belt, but you got a little bit smaller belt.
But you bought your belt off the rack at like Walmart.
Or here's an example, right? It's like wrestling. So I was a big wrestling fan. So you have the heavyweight championship, champion, generally Hulk Hogan or somebody like that. Then you had the middleweight, and then you had the intercontinental champion. Mm-hmm. The belt was smaller, a little bit sleeker, still had some gold. But the guys that won that belt didn't look like Hulk Hogan. They were up and coming, right? It was like, yeah, Ricky the Dragon, Steamboat, and all those dudes. Jimmy Superfly Snuka, there's a couple times they threw my man Junkyard Dog a bone, let him wrestle for one, even though he knew he wasn't going to get it. That's what we're fighting for right now. It's a chance to upset one of the better teams. And then when you go into the new calendar year and with a new defensive coordinator, you got the four-man front, you got all, like, you can really fester up every realistic excuse for the last 2 weeks in one game and for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Oh, we should have been playing a four-man front. Coach Butler really didn't want to play a four-man, all this stuff. Now we got the guys in the right position. Now we can actually really, really be choosy in the transfer portal, because in order for Nebraska to win tomorrow, that means this, in my opinion. Kim Lennart has to play good. Okay, this is all together in conjunction. Mm-hmm. It's not one, it's all. Yeah. Riley Van Poppel has to play good. Elijah Judy has to play. It's your last game. You have to mm-hmm. play good. Keona Davis, Williams Nowari. All of them have to, when we look at this stat sheet, have to be factors.
Yeah.
Vincent Shavers, Watson Trent. Was it Bright? The new what's his name that's starting from Georgia?
Justin Rhett.
Justin Rhett. He has to play well. Buford's got to, you know, obviously go out with a bang.
Guthrie, what'd you learn over last month?
Right.
Andrew Marshall, their splash play.
In order for us to win, whether we come out and dominate them or we squeak out a win, the dogfight, all those guys have to play well.
Yeah.
And we haven't even got to the offensive side. And that's where, you know, it's a huge, huge opportunity. I mean, I was just thinking during the break, just imagine, you know, say I didn't come to Nebraska. Say I went to Michigan State and they had the same rules. You're up. Say you've been practicing good. Say you're one of those guys. You remember when Luke Reimer got out there and played the first, it was at Northwestern, Scott Frost's first like year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was banged up, but then I know his first start was against Northwestern. And Luke was great, but I remember they talked about him like a folk hero based off what he did in practice the previous year.
Yeah.
I think he, didn't he go to North Star? I
believe so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And kind of made himself into something. He's a really good athlete. I wish he had another year.
Yeah.
Like another year in college.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe ask about it. You still in shape, bro? Like, we can put you through a little workout right here, you know. But, you know, if you were a guy that had been really practicing well or playing in those four periodic games, and obviously you took these 15 practices, and now you've been under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
But the coaches have seen you. The players have seen you. The new defensive coordinator has seen you.
Yeah.
You live on stage 2:30 tomorrow, Central Standard Time. And then it can all start from there.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, this is a spring game. This is a spring game. This is where you can really, trust me, I know. This is it. Because the spring game that they're probably going to have is not going to be nearly like the. So this is it.
Mm.
So the guys that are red shirt, the guys that they're going to probably play a lot of guys or get them some reps, right? This is a realistic spring game. It's actually has more magnitude because you're going against a reliable opponent.
Mm-hmm.
So now they get to evaluate you. Okay, how did you prepare the last? Can I trust you to, you know, prepare and practice like a champion for 2 weeks? That you can get that dialed in on you. See what you're made of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how you do with extended reps because you probably didn't have that many. You know, in that situation during the season, how do you perform when the pressure's on? How do you perform against game opponents? What's your stamina like? What's your actually functional strength versus your weight room strength versus your functional and athletic ability and game-like strength?
I'd say that goes for stamina too.
Yeah.
One thing to run your sprints and get through a practice, but what's your competitive stamina?
Can
you hang for six?
And that's the one. Right? What's your competitive stamina? What kind of teammate are you in a true football environment? Because everybody can do the whole, you know, like you see the now where you see, you know, when you watch some of these like practice videos of like high schools and colleges, you know, when you're going through a layup drill, like everybody's there clapping, like congratulations, you made a layup, or you make mm-hmm. Shooting drills, you're trying to keep the mojo going. Everybody can do that in practice.
Yeah.
How are you in the game?
Yeah.
What are you made of?
Mm-hmm.
Man, Austin.
You sound like you missed a little bit, Jay.
No, I did it. But I can tell you what I did not miss was being nervous. I was scared too.
But the good kind.
Yeah, somewhat. Somewhat. I mean, you know, this is no different than preseason game as a rookie in the NFL or something like that. There's a lot on the line for guys, a lot of pressure. But sometimes that pressure can make you do things that normally you wouldn't be able to do and bring out the best in you. And I'm pretty sure that's part of the evaluation process. Because ideally, I can't speak for Coach Rhule. I don't need to speak for any coach. But I can say if I was a coach and I felt really good that my roster was actually more talented than what we played on, and I knew we had guys coming up the pipe. Or I felt like when he was talking about Coach Butler, that, you know, he just wanted him to, you know, be confident enough to coach the guys, you know, that we had because we do have talent. If I knew that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would be so like anxious and have anxiety because I want them to perform well, because my ideal choice would be to continue to build with those guys, a la carte transfer portal, up their development and production versus 40% of the roster gone, hopeful about five or six guys really take the baton and run with it, bring in about 15, 20 new guys, and you probably hit on three. You get what I'm saying? So there's also pressure on both sides too. You want them to perform well as a coach, but there's only so many things you can do besides call the plays and try to, you know, obviously encourage them during the game.
You talk about Nebraska playing with nothing to lose, right? Bunch of auditions out there for guys, like you said, in their spring game. Is that something you can, I don't know if develop's the right word, is that a mindset you can instill over a month? Is that a team-wide thing that it'll click the more you keep preaching it? Is that on the individual level? Because I think it's reductive just to say, well, if this guy played well, he played like he has nothing to lose. You know, he played with his hair on fire. If he played poorly, well, why were you reserved? You know, did you not care? Were you not invested? What was that? I don't want to get that reductive and simplistic. But I think if you look at back at Nebraska's regular season, Jay, maybe it was a talent issue and they did play like that and just couldn't get over the hump against Michigan or against USC or against Penn State or against Iowa, or against Minnesota, any of those losses. You can say maybe Nebraska just didn't have the horses, didn't have the talent, just wasn't good enough. But I think you could also say we're not sure Nebraska played its best in any of those games, especially the last couple at the end of the year, right? Michigan, three-point game, was it really? We'll see, bunch of talent on that team. USC, Nebraska was in that game, but did Nebraska really leave it all out there? Did Nebraska play with no fear of failure and like it had nothing to lose, but the game, like it didn't feel like it. And so I think it's great to say that, Nebraska has nothing to lose. It's a bowl game. You got to go leave it all out there. It's great to say it. How can we be sure that Nebraska is actually going to come with that attitude and play like that tomorrow?
It has to grow like organically. Like I said, you got to have you be pressed against, you got to have your back against the wall sometimes. Sometimes you got to have people encourage it out of you. Sometimes you got to get it beat out of you. Kind of like you just get tired of getting your butt kicked at practice, or you get tired of being disrespected. And then that switch goes on internally. So there's different ways it comes about. But not, you know, here's, and I'm probably going to walk back that you have nothing to lose. Now, during the game, you have nothing to lose. Because there isn't.
Yeah.
There are two score. They're a 13.5 point favorite. They were 14 or almost 15 points prior, and they probably only took a point or two off with four guys. Two of them are supposed to be first round. The other guy that's in the portal will be first round. He's probably going to Michigan. And Fano, obviously, to declare early, he's got to be in a, you know, day two, you know, top four round guy as well.
Yeah.
So a lot of their, so that they still believe in that Utah team. So that's why you have nothing to lose. Because you're not even supposed to win.
Right. Everyone's telling you.
You're not even supposed to win. You're just there for Utah to, you know, send off Whittingham that he could have a nice little, you know, coke and a smile when he's up there in Ann Arbor, you know, watching his old team and Scully getting his first victory. And he's like, man, I'm holding the fort down until you tip the cap as he's riding off back to Salt Lake City.
It's always an interesting spot, I think, for a team and a program to be in when you have to play that nobody believes in us card. Yeah. While also convincing yourself you're good enough, right? We have the talent to hang, right? That's what Matt Rhule's been trying to do all year. He's kind of stayed away from the nobody believes in us card for the most part, right? He's always been that guy that's speaking highly of his talent, you know, for the most part, right? Yeah. Hey, we're good enough. We got to believe it. We got to start playing like it. We have the guys in this room. I believe in them. That's what we're going to do because we have the guys that can succeed. You can do that, but then it's funny when you have to turn around in the bowl game and play the, well, nobody believes in this card. Because it's true. You know, Nebraska should have enough talent to, at the very least, be in the game and not look two possessions worse than Utah. But it's also true that, bunch of the money's probably on Utah. There's a lot of things in this matchup that slant Utah's way. I feel like that'd be a really interesting line to have to walk as a coach, where you say, you are good enough to win this game, and also nobody believes in you.
But it is like, hey, look, nobody believes in us, but let me tell you something. You were more than capable of winning this game. Matter of fact, I know we're going to win this game. I know we're going to win this game because we're going to do what we need to do.
Yeah.
And we do what we need to do. They cannot beat us. I'm telling you that right now. And if you're a coach that don't, you know, pride yourself, I used to always, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you the truth, you know, whether you like it or not. But so if I'm, and if you know I'm telling you the truth, that we can win this game. Now we got to go play our game.
Yeah.
But also, I want to let you know, these dudes don't know what we've done or who we are or how much better we've gotten. And so they don't believe in us. So now let's really go out and show them what we already know.
Mm-hmm.
That you can play it both ways. Yeah. Look, Bo Pelini, he's a bat in the hatches everybody. Right? He'd do that all the time. And yeah. It'd work. And there's only a few times that maybe one or two times a year you can do it. But it's realistic right here. You don't even have to tell them. Players are aware of the point spread. Because even in the NFL, I remember, you know, times that where that was the case or even times that we were favored, we got to live up to standards. So, yeah, I mean, it's just like I was saying, there's nothing that you can lose, right? And everything to gain. The only thing you can lose is your pride if you don't go out there and lay it on the line. Mm-hmm. And that's 125 different cases. By the players, whatever. Yeah. Is it 125 or whatever?
Whatever it is now.
So that's the only thing that you can lose. Because you can gain and take the respect by going out there and handling your business. That needs to be order number one. Don't ever let anybody disrespect you when it comes to these sports or playing football.
That is huge because this is a game, Jay, that I think in this day and age of college sports, people would say, well, who cares? It's not a playoff game. It's, you know, you just went 7-5. You kind of fizzled at the end of the regular season. You know, does Utah really want to be there? They lost their coach. And it's disappointing for them. Some people try to tell you this game doesn't matter.
I know. You sound like you could say that. Say it again, Austin.
Some people try to tell you this game doesn't matter. So it's on you as a player to have that pride and say, you know what? This game does matter. Because to your point, let me show you. This is who I'm going to be. You know, from this point forward, this is the player you can expect.
Yeah.
I worked an extra month for this opportunity. And if Utah doesn't want to care about this game and their guys are sitting out, good for them. So be it. That doesn't affect me. That doesn't affect us. We're going to go play because why? We got another chance.
Hey, you get punched in your face, you're going to start caring real quick. hey, you come out there Cadillacing and get pistol whipped real quick. You go, hey, you go, oh, whoa, we in a game. Well,
that's what we're doing.
So let's go see. I would say let's go see. Let's go see how good these dudes are. Let's go see. Let's just go see. And let's go see how much they want
to
play.
Do the dragon out to deep water. Don't get dragged.
Oh, yeah. Let's go see. Let's just jump in there right now. Let's not even deal with the little kiddie part. Let's just go in there. Let's just see like where they're at. And then, you know, the rest of, you know, take care of itself. And that. But you got to have the right mindset for that.
Yeah.
It can't even be a lot of talk. Like right now in that hotel, it's got to be like eerie quiet. I remember this like yesterday when we were about to play Florida, you could feel the excitement. You mean you just feel it? Obviously, you know you can feel the excitement. You've been waiting the whole day to have your pregame like our pregame meeting before we go to the stadium. But before, say the meeting started at 3. Before that. 150 guys, it's eerie quiet in there. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, because you're just, it's ready to like overflow, but the intensity and the mindset is hard to describe. Yeah. I mean, it's eerie. It's very cutthroat. It's very intense. It's pure. But if the regular person accidentally walked in there, they were like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here. Because the looks that they would be getting, the vibe, the energy that they would get, it would be like, this is not going to work out well for you.
No.
Right now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's where you probably, that's where if boots were on the ground down in Las Vegas, you know, sometimes you'd see some media guys that they would try to get, like, especially like if you play a big game in the pros or something like that, you see them walking through the lobby. They're not looking to see what you're doing. They're getting a vibe off of what's going, where you're at. And a lot of that times that'll tell you exactly what's going to happen the next day or the next night or whatever. And remember actually my favorite, I know a lot of people don't like him. I love Gus Johnson. I love Gus Johnson because he's funny, man. That dude, man. We were down in Oklahoma. Now I can admit it. I was down there at Oklahoma. And
Oh, so the statute of limitations for that one is up, but
yeah,
not the natty.
Yeah, because they got
Not the natty, really?
Hold on, they got that NCAA thing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so you
know, all right, deal, fine. All right.
And we came out of TBD, and Gus was just kind of like creeping around. He's like, "What's up?" He's like, "What's up, man?" He's like, "I was like, what's up, Mr. Johnson?" He's like, "Yeah, you can call me Gus." He's like, "Yeah, I'm just walking around." He's like, "I'm just trying to get the vibe." He's like, "I think you got."
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
I was going to try to be physical with them tomorrow. And that was with Lincoln Riley. Mm. Now, we're probably too physical because I think my man Cam Jerkins got a couple personal. Remember, he drove the dude all the way into the Gatorade, got a personal foul. I'm fine with that. But we weren't physical enough because we had blocked extra point, went 2-2-2 and stuff like that, and had like 85 penalties. When we had 80 yards of offense and
80 yards of penalties, whatever. Yeah.
But that's just part of how it goes.
But you're trying to set the tone. Yeah. You know, it's Nebraska, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, they were clearly the favorite team, the better team. If that's what it takes, you don't want to be fake tough, right? There's a fine line, right? Be physical to a point, but with a purpose, right? Yeah. If you need to go above and beyond, like, that's the thing, Jay. I've said this for Nebraska football. I've said this for Nebraska men's basketball, even baseball to a degree. Who's the tone setter? Who's the edge? Where is the edge?
That's a great question.
You know, that's what I think Nebraska needs to rediscover. It can't be everyone on the team, but you don't want to go, you know, full, you know, black hole Raiders or anything, but who on the team is that guy?
Say that again.
You don't need to go full, you know, black hole Las Vegas Raiders, you know, fan base or whatever.
Why not?
Because no one likes the Raiders, you know?
Okay, that's fine.
Like, you don't want to be like that fan base, that reputation, but as a player, right?
You can be like the 1970 Raiders.
Sure. Where's the little nasty, right? Don't be afraid to drive the guy down. Don't be afraid to give him a little push, you know, or use him to help you stand up. Because it's great to have nice guys that love their teammates, and that's great. But Jay, there's the competitive, you know, switch that gets flipped. That you're a different person between the lines. When the light comes on, you know, people gave JJ McCarthy some crap for it. You know, there's JJ off the field and number 9 on the field. Where is that for Nebraska? It doesn't have to be everyone, but where's the guy that can bring that out of Nebraska? Maybe it's, you know, going one step too far once and getting away with it. Maybe it's saying one thing that's, you know, not PC or whatever that gets everyone fired up. Where's the edge?
Yeah.
Where's the toughness? Yeah. Where's the spark?
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have it in the team, then you're going to have a coach or a former player bring that type of intensity and bring it out of it. Sometimes you need to demand it out of them. That was what made, you know, the pipeline, where it was like Brendan Stein and Zach Wiegert and those guys, actually the most nasty guy on that offensive line of the original pipeline was my man Joe Wilkes, Buddha.
Mm.
Nasty. I mean, I'm telling you, know, I think he was a walk-on, you know, kind of had to work his way, you know, on
scrappy, fight for everything.
Fights you. I remember he graduated. He's like, hey, man, I'm done. He's like, I'm going to the Bengals, and I think he just got released by the Bengals, waiting to get picked back up. He's like, hey, man, if you ever get in a fight on O Street, just call me. I'm ready.
I love that.
Nice seeing you. Right. I mean, that was it. Because he was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm going down, you know. And actually was in the spring, and he was, you know, with the Bengals. He's like, yeah, you know, hey, this is my number. Hey, you guys get into something. Don't worry. I'll be right there.
I ain't hard to find.
That's where you got, like, you know, Christian Peter, and even, like, people don't know, like, Terry Keneally and those guys. You know, Terry Keneally is probably one of the nicest guys walking around, like, right, you know, like, he got on the field, dude. He looked like he was crazy. Like Dwayne Harris and all those guys, they was, so it was all kind of, I mean, if you got to have that. And the one thing I will say, where this is where I knew Notre Dame was different under Marcus Freeman. When they went out to USC last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you remember they had the slow motion replay where the offensive lineman from Notre Dame punched the guy from USC in the face.
Yeah.
And not in the face, but in his face mask.
Yeah.
That's a different type of mentality. That means they were playing a little bit different,
mm-hmm.
with a different type of mentality.
Yeah.
Led to some great things for him. Led to some, you know, right now this tone is set in there. You got to have a little bit nasty. They went down to Texas A&M and beat them in a full-fledged dogfight.
Mm-hmm. and you can't fake it. It's got to be in you, but you got to find ways to get in tune with it.
Yeah, you can be nasty. You can be physical. You can play to inflict pain / hurt somebody. You don't play to injure them, and you don't play stupid. Mm-hmm. And there is a difference.
Yeah.
That's why
aggressive is not reckless. Physical is not
that's
malicious.
Why, that's when Draymond Green is on that line, he's a Hall of Fame player. Mm-hmm. When he goes above that line, he's a negative Hall of Fame player.
Mm-hmm. When he doesn't reach that line,
he's always on. But yeah, when he's playing passive, he's a detriment. But when he is on that line, mm-hmm. he's a problem.
Yeah,
because he can guard 1-4. That's what Dennis Rodman. You think about even at times when Jimmy Butler is when his mind's right, mm-hmm. Ron Artest and those guys. You don't want to play against them. You want to play with them.
Yeah,
Bill Romanowski and those type of dudes. Mm-hmm. You get somebody like that does a little bit of that. It goes a long way, and that's the biggest thing they need to look for in the portal. Mm. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah,
arm talent and all that stuff. That sounds great. You need some guys with a little bit more attitude.
A little bit FU.
Yeah.
Whether on my team or against.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You can probably speak better on this, and I know you got a judge here in a minute, but. Seems like Tommy Frazier had some of that.
Oh, he did. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But Tommy would listen. You didn't have to like Tommy, but I'll tell you something. Get in those white lines. There's nobody else that I would take right now as a quarterback. You need a big play, he'll do it. He'll push you. He'll prod you. He'll challenge you. He'll be there for you as a teammate. What else can you want? We don't need to go out for ice cream. We've got to win. Mm-hmm. Tommy needs something. Everybody, you know, will be there.
You need something, Tommy will be
there. Right. It's the way it is. Mm-hmm. Period. Ran into him one time in the Charlotte airport, chopped him up with him. Just laughed about old time. I mean, we battle, dude. Mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah, that's what they need, a little bit of that. But they need to bring a little bit of that because you can recruit that if you start to foster that tomorrow at 2:30. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. We're going to take a quick break. It's about to be on.
And popping?
Yeah. I wonder how much money Nick's going to lose in three-card poker. Nothing. I'm going to tell you this. Nothing made my day better to watch Nick Saner and Jake Sorensen just watch the mastery class and didn't know how to figure it out.
This will make you laugh. I was talking with Nick earlier today. Mm-hmm. He says he hates when people say the word bet.
Oh, really?
That was my reaction. Oh. That was my reaction. Bet.
Oh, I'm texting him right now.
Bet.
B-E-T exclamation mark. Anyway, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. We'll holler at you in a quick minute.
Watch Old School Live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Are you ready for a...
Jay Foreman out the door, got some business to handle. You're stuck with me. I'm Austin Orman here for the remainder of the show. Lots still to get to, including a big thank you to one of the sponsors here on Old School, including Heartland of Nebraska Windows. They're based out of Hallam, Nebraska. They offer a free estimate, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while keeping their prices affordable. Heartland of Nebraska Windows is locally and family owned with their own team of installers. They're not contracting out. They got their own people. Give Heartland of Nebraska Windows a call today for more information at 402-430-3852, or you can visit them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. As always, 402-464-5685. If you have anything you want to chime in on, whether it's Nebraska football related, we'll wrap up this hour with some Husker football talk. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, plenty on Nebraska men's basketball. Husker hoops back in action tonight. 8 o'clock tip off against New Hampshire. I'll be down there post game coverage. Myself, Harrison Orange, coming up at 10. But on the Nebraska football front, interesting article from The Athletic. Not Mitch Sherman writing for them, based here in Nebraska. This was, I believe, with Sam Kahn, who's doing part of a GM spotlight series, and he reached out to Pat Stewart. Kind of got Pat Stewart's backstory and his thoughts on what's going on in college football in this day and age. And so we're just going to kind of take this question by question, go down the line. So he got to his backstory, Pat Stewart's, that is, to begin with. He was asked by Sam Kahn why he wanted to move into college football. And interesting answer here from Pat Stewart. He says, I talked to a couple other schools that reached out to me, but after those phone calls, I told my wife that I didn't feel like those schools knew what they wanted. They seemed to want an NFL guy just to say they had an NFL guy. I was only going to do this if it was with a head coach that I knew. And obviously, Matt Rhule is one of my good friends. So it made a lot of sense. Okay, interesting quote. A lot of schools not necessarily knowing what they want, maybe just going for name recognition, brand recognition, saying you can have an NFL guy, not knowing what exactly it is comes with it. That leads into this. How different is the personnel and roster management philosophy in the NFL compared to college? I wanted to talk with Jay about this. Maybe we can bring this up a different time. But Pat Stewart echoed a lot of what Jay said and what I've intuited. Here's Pat Stewart's answer. How different, you know, roster and personnel management is in the NFL compared to college football. Here's Pat Stewart. He says, it does differ a little bit. The head coach is the face of the program in college football. A lot of the times in the NFL, it's going to be a couple of players plus the head coach. Let's just pause there. Jay and I were talking about this yesterday, right? Marcus Freeman going back to Notre Dame, not to the NFL. Is there a difference between what makes a good college football coach versus an NFL coach? Will more college guys get the look in the professionalization era of college football to make the jump to the NFL? I kind of intuited this, and Jay seemed to back up a lot of what I was saying, and that in college football, yeah, it's the head coach with a lot of latitude to make changes, a lot of, you know, free reign given to remake the organization in his image. Go raise the money. You can do pretty much what you want. Jay, of course, gives the example on the NFL side from his time in Buffalo. Bruce Smith, Thurman Thomas, they can go right up to Ralph Wilson, Mr. Wilson, the owner, not even have to go through the head coach or a position coach. Whereas if you're, you know, little old Jay Foreman, as he would say, you got to go through the proper channels. And Pat Stewart seems to validate that. The head coach is the face of the program in college football. A lot of the time in the NFL, it's going to be a couple players plus the head coach. Pat Stewart goes on to say, and none of this works if there's not a collaborative effort of everybody to see things the same way instead of my guy versus your guy. In college or the NFL, it's not going to work if one guy gets his way all the time. No team is going to be successful if the GM gives the coach a bunch of players that he doesn't want to coach. There you have it. Someone has to have the final say. Sounds like Nebraska ends up wanting to make those decisions more by committee as opposed to my way or the highway, whether that's the head coach getting the final say, GM Pat Stewart getting the final say, or whoever else down the line. Here's this then from Pat Stewart, his biggest learning curve when he arrived at Nebraska. He says, definitely recruiting in the game of recruiting, like how many guys you're targeting at different positions. To build a team, you don't just collect talent, but at the same time, you do need some difference makers. In college football, you pay the premium for a running back that in the NFL, maybe you wouldn't. There's a little different positional value. Now, here's the money quote. And I think this can really tie back to what it was Jay and I were talking about to lead the show. Jay mentioned the changes that could come or that need to come to college athletics. I brought up the Dan Hurley quote that he gave to Matt Norlander of CBS Sports regarding, quote unquote, the shield in college basketball and who's looking out for it. Pat Stewart had some adjacent comments to that, to The Athletic. He said, the other thing, and I still struggle with it, is the infrastructure of college football right now is severely lacking. The fact that players go into the portal and there's no one clearinghouse to reconcile your rosters with, you have to do that manually and just figure it out. You have to designate who your 10 coaches are on the road recruiting, but you can't go anywhere and find who the 10 coaches are for everyone else. So if I come across someone on the road, is that person supposed to be out? The lack of infrastructure has been the biggest adjustment for me because in the NFL, it's black and white. There's not a lot of gray. You know what players' contracts are coming up. You know who's going to be a free agent. You know who's eligible for the draft. You do the work and you pick it the best you can. In college football, you just have to be ready for everything. Going back to what Jay and I said, how do you get that infrastructure? How do you get that accountability? How do you make college sports more black and white? More cut and dry, less nebulous, less gray area. It's seemingly impossible to do now that they've been at it for very long, maybe, you know, 8 years, if you want to be very generous, probably 5 years. And really, I think the last 2 or 3 years have been, you know, attempted steps in that direction. But it's not just going to happen overnight. It's going to take trial and error, and it's going to take a lot of people sacrificing. You know, believing in their hearts, coming to understand that what they sacrifice now, they could make back double, triple, maybe even tenfold in the long run if they end up doing what's best or the best available of the options for as many people as possible. No one is going to get their way completely, right? Think about it. Schools are never going to go back to having, you know, full control of the players that they recruit. Players, you know, have a really sweet deal right now with free transfers and money flowing. They're going to have to give some of that up probably, you know, because you can have too much of a good thing in some cases, right? You can be too free. You can have, you know, too few limits, but they're going to be hard pressed to give that up. Administrations, schools, the NCAA, all of them have things they do well, some better than others. All of them have blind spots, things they do poorly. No one is going to come out a 100% winner with 100% of their wish list checked off. But if you can get it to where, you know, 8 out of 10 boxes are checked for everyone and start working to solve the last couple boxes for everyone in whatever order seems right, that's a great step in the right direction. But the infrastructure of contracts, the infrastructure of player payment, college football either needs to realize that it's a mini NFL and adopt that model, go that way, and get systems in place that mirror the NFL, or college football needs to take a step back and say, okay, we thought we were ready for big boy business. We weren't. We don't know how to handle it. Maybe people are successful, maybe they're not, but we don't feel like this is what's best for the growth of the game in the long run. We potentially need to end up taking a step back from all of this, reassess, and either start over with the NFL model or get back to our roots with where we were in college football. Again, it's not impossible. It would take sacrifice. It'll probably take plenty more hard choices and plenty more failures before we have the ultimate success that I think we're looking for as college athletics fans, right? Certainly, I think infrastructure would help Nebraska. If it's new GM Pat Stewart is talking about, that's the biggest difference. If he's bringing his NFL experience, it's too early to say what kind of impact Pat Stewart has had on Nebraska and its roster. Seems like it's been a positive one so far, but again, we're about a year into the Pat Stewart tenure, and that's a guy that's still trying to wrap his brain around everything that can happen in college sports, and it's going to be impossible to do. It's going to be a never-ending task with the way the rules are written and changing. Now, some more stuff from Pat Stewart. With agents, how different is it dealing with them on the college side versus the pro side? Here's Pat Stewart. Again, it's the transparency that we lack in college football. There's no market. I don't know what any other school pays their starting left tackle, but I'm supposed to believe an agent when he tells me how much somebody is offering. That's very different. Here's the difference that Pat Stewart mentions. In the NFL, we, in front offices, right, general managers and general manager adjacent types, would just differ over who the comp is. That's really the only discussion point, because what they're paid is what the market is. Somebody's going to reset it every year, then everybody else falls in line behind that. In college football, it seems like 20 guys want to reset the market at once, and just because that guy got it means I should be getting it. People don't really know their spot in line at this level. A lot of times, though, when I talk to agents that I have dealt with in the past and have NFL experience, we talk through some things and we find common ground much faster than I do with other agents. So yeah, that's been a challenge in its own right. Going back to what he said, no one central clearinghouse, no one simple consistent market for, hey, here are the best players at this position. Here's what they're getting. Here's the comparison for you. Here's the money we think you should be getting. None of that in college. Wild West is the way that Pat Stewart is describing it. He does want to say, yeah, I mean, like it or not, that's the way business is being done. We have to be honest about it. We have to operate in that system. And then there's this from Pat Stewart. Where does high school recruiting fit into your strategy? Pat Stewart says, for Nebraska, it's still going to be a big piece. In the NFL, you draft well and fill your needs in free agency. In college, I think you need to recruit well and fill your needs in the portal. It's certainly not fiscally responsible to go into the portal for every single position every year, because you're going to pay a premium. You have to have homegrown talent that can get you through so that you're not paying that premium price at every single position. You have to have homegrown talent that can get you through so that you're not paying that premium price at every single position. What I'm saying, a reassessment year for Nebraska football. Let the kids play. See what you have. But we know Nebraska's going back into the transfer portal. 402-464-5685. Outside of quarterback, because we know Nebraska's looking, as pretty much every team in the country will be, for a quarterback in the transfer portal. Outside of quarterback, you get one position for Nebraska to spend premium dollar on. Where are you, if you were in Pat Stewart's shoes, pushing for Nebraska to spend that money on a transfer portal player? 402-464-5685. Let me know. We'll take your responses after break.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in. It is Old School. Finishing off hour two of the show, as always, is our Match Point segment brought to you by Love Volleyball. Not Omaha anymore, but Love Volleyball Nebraska. Their season resumes here within a couple of weeks. First match for Love Volleyball Nebraska in season two is January 11th, 3 p.m. at Baxter Arena. That's a Sunday, Nebraska taking on Love Volleyball Houston. The Love Nebraska's promotional schedule is out. Check all it out and to get your single match tickets online, lovneb.com, before it's too late. Like I said, 402-464-5685. Outside of quarterback, you get one position for Nebraska to splurge in the transfer portal on, whether that's on one player or they allocate a lot of money to that position and bring in a bunch of bodies. Where would you like that money spent? 7592 says offensive line is a clear second behind quarterback and could even be number one on my list. I think offensive line makes some sense. It does. I see where you're coming from. I will say, I think that Nebraska's activity level with offensive linemen in the portal will come down to what Jeep Wade thinks of the guys that he has. There are a bunch of bodies in that room. There always are. There always have to be. There's some young, intriguing, relatively local talent, guys that we've been excited about for years, right? I mean, Sam Sledge, a healthy Gunnar Gatula. You think about Grant Bricks and Gibson Pyle as names on that offensive line. Add that to the returning Elijah Pritchett and Justin Evans. It seems like there should be some play for Coach Wade to work with. The other part about it is that what are you going to do? Are you going to pay top dollar for an offensive guard? Are you going to go get another center? Probably not behind Justin Evans. I doubt it. And then you're looking at the tackle position. Do you want to spend another $1 million on another tackle? If you think you're a piece away and that tackle's the piece, go for it. But I really think that offensive line will probably end up being down Nebraska's list of priorities, even if I see the argument for making it at the top of the list. 5475. I don't know if there is anyone that's expected to be this sort of player in the portal, but it's got to be an elite pass rusher that can get you double-digit sacks. 9326. You got to go with a defensive end edge rusher, a game wrecker. Okay. There we go. Defensive line. New position coach, new scheme. Yeah, I see the argument for defensive line as well. Now, I think Nebraska was able to go do that last offseason with the addition of Williams Wanneri out of the transfer portal. I'm sure they paid a pretty good price for him. I think he was worth it in year one. I think he has the ability and the potential to be that game wrecker for Nebraska. I thought he was among the more consistent pieces on that Husker football defense this year. We'll see how he reacts to a new scheme, a new, you know, sort of alignment in position, even though he will probably be that hand in the dirt defensive end in that 4-3 for Nebraska. If you can get another young guy like Williams Wanneri, I think that could go a long way for Nebraska on the defensive line. I think you could also talk yourself into getting a space eater, right? A plugger up the middle, a run stopper, a two-gap sort of guy that can just eat up space and let those guys on the outside go to work. Talked about that with Bach a little bit. I think Nebraska has some options on the roster. If you can get someone proven, maybe that's worth it. You can help your guys on the outside play up. Lemon agrees with me as well. Not defensive end. We need defensive tackle run stopper. Also weak at linebacker. Cigar Guy says the Levante David type of player as well. I think linebacker is a place that Nebraska should indeed be looking. And there's a guy in the portal with some ties. San Diego State All-Mountain West linebacker Owen Chambliss is entering the NCAA transfer portal. He tells ESPN, this is Pete Thamel tweeting, he'll have two seasons of eligibility remaining. Chambliss finished this year with 110 tackles, 4 sacks, and 9.5 tackles for loss. Yes, please. Husker, immediately. Never heard this young man's name. Never seen him play a snap of football. Bring him to Lincoln. Coach Orrick, Coach Manning, please tell me you have a good relationship with this young man. Get him to town. Bring him along. Please absolutely do that. The other name from San Diego State that's in the portal, Ryan Henderson, 6'3", 255 pass rusher, 12 and a half career tackles for loss and 10 and a half sacks with a forced fumble. There's your edge rusher, potentially, right? Not sure the age on Ryan Henderson. Sounds like he spent the last 2 years per Steve Marek of Nebraska Rivals. He spent 2 years under Coach Orrick right now, and Roy Manning was his position coach. So a couple Husker connections now back to the San Diego State players. I think both edge rusher Ryan Henderson and especially linebacker Owen Chambliss would be fantastic additions to Nebraska, especially Chambliss if he has those 2 years of eligibility remaining. I think that would really go a long way. 3027 says a defensive edge, someone to get after the quarterback who even stands out in the last 15 years. You think Randy Gregory first. I think that's the obvious answer. And then it's a bunch of, you had guys that had a pop-up year here and there. Other than that, just a bunch of whatever along the lines. It's been a bunch of pass rush by committee more so than it's been a game-wrecking force. Nebraska has not consistently gotten home with three or even with four rushers toward the quarterback. Virginia Pirate chimes in. The lines are needed. You'll probably be looking every year, though. Quarterback and running back feel pretty obvious to me. Yes, Virginia Pirate, quarterback, I think, is already out of the picture, out of the question, because we know Nebraska's going there. So I'll pick up on running back. Dave Braska also says elite running back. To me, I think the two positions that Nebraska should go get a talented multi-year guy for the right price, of course, running back and linebacker. I get the lines, but you have new coaches. You know, if you think that you have the exact right guy available and you can get him for a good price, sure, go get your linemen on both sides of the ball. I get it. You went up front. It's in the trenches. Obviously important. Go for it. Knock yourself out if you want to. I'm also okay with, hey, you know what? We think we have the talent in our room. We think we have better scheme. We think we have, you know, maybe not better, but certainly different coaching that can bring the best out of the guys that we have. So we're going to be happy with the rooms that we have and splash that money somewhere else. Nebraska doesn't need more wide receivers. Maybe Nebraska goes and gets a safety or a spare corner to develop for a year. Maybe. But to me, it really comes down to an elite game-changing running back and a linebacker. Nebraska is just so thin at that position right now. And that's not a knock on Vincent Shavers. That's not a knock on Dawson Merritt or Jacob Bauer or whoever have you. You just need another body to make it through the Big Ten. If you can get a guy that's, you know, a little longer, athletic, a little rangier type of coverage linebacker that can also get downhill and thump, that goes a long way. I like Owen Chambliss as that kind of downhill guy. Again, 110 tackles, four sacks, 9.5 tackles for loss last year. That's huge. That's incredible. I think a guy like that would go a long way for Nebraska on the defensive side of the ball. Be better at that second level. Get better communication. Get better playmaking. You just didn't get a whole lot from the linebacker position this year. I think you can upgrade that pretty easily. Maybe that's just Vincent Shavers Jr. being better. Maybe that's a full year of Dawson Merritt and growing into his body as a sophomore. But I do think that the linebacker is a position. Nebraska looks at a body. And then running back. I like Mosey. I like Nelson. Coaching staff seems to like Quentin Ives. What have any of those guys done? I think that group has the biggest opportunity to make a mark on how Nebraska operates in the transfer portal with a good performance against Utah coming up in, you know, what, 22 hours, 21 and a half hours, if my math is right. Yeah, tomorrow on New Year's Eve. There's a huge opportunity ahead for Isaiah Mosey, for Mekhi Nelson, for Quentin Ives, to Kenneth Williams might even get some running back snaps, right, to make themselves a factor. But man, if there's a, you know, Quintrevion Wisner out there, can you go get him? Hollywood Smothers is in the portal. Can you go get him? A proven, no doubt, number one running back. Whether it's TJ Latif or the transfer quarterback to be determined later, I think we saw the power of an RB1. And again, even Pat Stewart said something like that in that article I just read in the previous segment. Let me scroll back and find that pretty quick. Because he says it's, you know, different in the NFL from college when you look at the roster and, you know, philosophies when it comes to managing it. Where was it? Yeah, he just said essentially, you know, you can use a stud running back. And yeah, here it is. To build a team, you don't just collect talent, but at the same time, you do need some difference makers. In college football, you pay the premium for a running back that in the NFL, maybe you wouldn't. There's a little different positional value. Yeah, I see a lot of value in Nebraska going out and getting a guy that you would probably give the leg up to as RB1 entering the year. Still time for, you know, young guy Mosey, getting older guy in Nelson, and you know, almost grizzled vet at this point in Quentin Ives to get some carries. But you know, if there is a Charmar Brown 2.0 out there, right? A Ducker from Northern Illinois, someone like that, or a Wisner from Texas, anyone like that, I think you absolutely go get him. Mark, can Rocco invite some friends to join him on the offensive line? Well, Mark, unfortunately, Rocco Spindler is graduating. Was a big piece of Nebraska's success up front this year. Good interview, good guy to talk to. Spoke in front of the media quite a few times, but he will be out of there. So with that, we will wrap up our transfer portal discussion for Nebraska football. Nebraska men's basketball is back in action tonight. Husker women's hoops lost a tough one to USC yesterday, 74-66. We'll talk about that as well. But with Nebraska basketball back in action, New Hampshire tonight, Michigan State on Friday, I put together my list of the biggest, most important regular season games so far of the Fred Hoiberg era. I got my list of five and some honorable mentions. Think back, regular season only. Important games, key games so far in Fred Hoiberg's tenure. We'll talk through that to lead off Hour 3 of Old School.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.